There's less comfortability there. There's not as much certainty that the bills are going to be paid. There's not as much certainty that you're going to be able to pay your employee's salary. I guess there's more of a why that is driving you, whereas those that are workers, those benefits are taken care of, or there's a bit more certainty around it, which can give a bit more flexibility.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome again to the New Nomad Podcast, the podcast that supports the folks that have the location-independent lifestyle. We're going to have a very interesting guest today. We're going to really discuss entrepreneurship. We're going to discuss balance, and we'll probably hit on a couple other different tangents there. Shay Duran will join us today. But before we bring Shay in, I'd love to catch up with Andrew Jernigan, who himself has been balancing entrepreneurship with life balance, etc., family, etc. It's an area that we talk about quite a bit, Andrew. Your thoughts today?
You know, so many people with this great resignation around the world that has hit the spotlight this fall, we are really on a surge of people saying, okay, I need to hone my skills. I need to focus and find a way to accomplish what I want to do wherever I want to do it, whether it's within my own country, but just outside the city, or moving to a different province, a different state, a different country, you know, and even being quite mobile from one to another. We're approaching an era when the new nomad, formerly known as just an explorer, an expat, the location independent, the digital nomad, you know, whatever the label is in the next season, these new workers that have the realization that they can shift are going to need to find the skills to do that, to hone that in and sharpen it. It's an exciting time, really. People are waking up to a newness of possibility.
Well, certainly that newness will be much more positive once the epidemic ends and people can head out. But to your point, right now, I see a great time where people are looking for coaching and taking this time to really evaluate themselves and where they want to go. And many of the guests that we've had on this podcast, not only a time of external exploration, but internal exploration. I think Shay will have a great advantage here because he himself has been helping others in that. So why don't we bring Shay into the conversation? And it's kind of interesting, as we were talking earlier, had quite a sojourn around the world just before COVID, traveled a bit. Shay, welcome to the New Nomad Podcast. Where are you at today? And how are you feeling about things?
There's always a positive. So I'm feeling positive about things. I think what has happened has created some incredible shifts, particularly for those that want to focus now more on a digital, a remote lifestyle through offering digital products and services. So I think that's been incredible. And I'm in London right now. So I've just got back to the UK a couple of weeks ago. I was in Athens previously before that.
So we've had a couple of conversations, Andrew and I, just earlier about balance and understanding. And I understand you work with folks. And I know that you've lived in that digital environment, et cetera. What are some of the things that help get by? And when you work with folks, what are some of the things that you share with them you think makes a real difference?
So in terms of balance, I guess we're going down the angle, just to clarify, of well-being, mental balance in the age of everything being digital. How do you still make sure we're connecting in person?
Well, wherever you want to take it. I mean, we're here to learn from you, but mental balance is extremely important. But if you want to go any other direction, we're all good.
Yeah, so I would say I feel I've been able to truly understand which environments I'm the most productive in when it comes to my own business and consulting. And that's been quite a transformational shift. It's not something that I'd experienced before. So over this last year, despite COVID, I was still able to get out into the world and travel, yes, fewer countries, but still travel whilst I was running my business. And what I found is that moving between cities and then in locations that were closer to the ocean, on average, I would say I move every 3 weeks, not country, but just accommodation where I'm staying. I'd move around every 3 weeks. And this rapid shift really helped me to understand where I felt like I had the most balance. And to bring it to life with an example, when I was in cities, entrepreneurs will relate to this. A lot of your time is invested in your business, especially if you're a solopreneur. It can feel quite lonely at points. So if you're in a city, I certainly found that I saw people out drinking in bars all of the time. Everything was buzzing around me. And I had this huge fear of missing out. It was constantly in my mind of, oh, you know, should I be not focusing as many hours on this and going out and socializing a little bit more? And then, yeah, when I moved to those areas that were by the sea, I found those thoughts completely went away and I felt so much more focused and balanced, and nature just totally replaced that fear of missing out. So for me, I would say that has been my biggest learn of balance, that how your environment makes you react when it comes to balance, when it comes to productivity, and use it to your advantage.
Yes. So 14 months of travel. Yes. And working during that time, I assume, right?
So 10 of the months, so 9 or 10 of the months, no. 4 of the months, yes. And then this last year of travel now, the whole year, yes, has been working whilst traveling.
Okay. So a lot of people hear that and just think, wow, I would love to have a job to where I could work in Namibia and Ethiopia and Tibet and places where you've been. And whether that's within their current employer or stepping out as a consultant, one of the things that comes up is, you know, people think, well, how can you be in those places and not be distracted to go out and see nature and hike all day instead of working and being productive? Were you able to be productive and get all your work done, but also enjoy the sights and the opportunities of those places?
100%. There's a balance to strike because, of course, if you're in a new country, the purpose of being there is you love exploring. As a nomad, as an adventurer, you want to explore, and that's what you feel called to do. So you don't want to be in a place and hardly see it. So I found the balance that worked for me is just I shifted my week. So it was Mondays and Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays is my time that would be business time, focus time. I would make sure I had at least a Wednesday afternoon free where I could go and explore at least a few hours each evening and the weekends. But that has been in the last year. So that has been a definite big shift for me compared to the year before that traveling, where I'd saved enough to not have to work. And it's just a totally different kind of experience. So what I would say from going through this is you have the type of travel where you don't have to worry about work, and that you can get into some really remote places. You don't have to worry about internet connection, etc. But the reality is when you are traveling whilst working, there's different adjustments that you have to make. And the internet, of course, comes into that, and how far you can adventure comes into that. My learn and my experience there has been not to see those two types of adventure as the same thing. They're not, but that overriding ability to still be out into the world, still explore and be amongst different cultures, even if you are having those set days where you're having to work, it still brings so much fulfillment.
And do you feel like that people need an advanced degree? They have to finish university and have all these different skill certifications to be able to have the level of income to travel the world?
No. And the reason why, so I, from firsthand, you know, I didn't go to university. I started my career at quite a young age, 17. And so university is definitely not a requirement for this. Budget as well, because that's the number one question, right, that's in a lot of people's minds that want to get out and there into the world. I haven't got enough. I just need to save a bit more to be able to do it. You meet all sorts of people on all different types of budgets. Whilst I've been out, I've met people who are living month to month. They're either finding a job, a physical job in the country where they're at, or you have those that have an online job that don't have a set amount of money in savings. Myself personally, I make sure that I always have 6 months, at least 6 months worth of income sitting in my bank account, just in case, you know, if all of my clients were to drop off all of a sudden or the consulting was to finish, you know, to give myself that space, the headspace. And so it's not constant pressure. But back to the question, having a university degree, no. Having endless amounts of money or a big pot of money, no. There is a way to make this work for anybody. And I think it's really about anticipation, you know, seeing the skills. What are the next set of skills that are being required? And there's so many different simple ways to learn these skills now. Online courses, blogs from experts who have achieved it, courses from experts who have already achieved the skills that you're looking to acquire. So there's an insane amount of resources, whatever the field may be, never really had access to before. So this is a unique opportunity to upskill yourself very quickly.
Well, it's interesting. Many of the studies that I've seen over the years, people that are intellectually curious tend to be most successful, regardless of degree or not degree. And, you know, the fact that you've traveled like you have shows an intellectual curiosity out there that differentiates. And I'm sure you bring different messages back. One thing that did resonate with me was, as you did travel to Andrew contractor's question, picking a particular day to work, et cetera. I've worked with folks that are in the surfing community and other communities, and they'll be like, you know, if it's a rainy day, I'm going to work 12, 14 hours. And if it's a sunny day, you won't find me working. And one of the things about when you're traveling, you can pick your spots. So maybe some of your comments also about as you were traveling around, how maybe you picked your spots a little different. Like if this place was a little bit more interesting, you know what I'll do? I'll spend a little more time here and work a little harder at this other location. But as you work with entrepreneurs, I know that I hate to put it this way, but it's almost like a culture of spurt working. The people are just work. They'll work for 12 hours, 15, 24 hours straight. And then that burst of energy. And then I love your comment about being near the beach where you don't have the same fear of missing out. So maybe some of your comments on some of the different people you ran across or different ways that you've worked, depending on whether it's sunny or rainy, whether it's a place you really liked or didn't like, or maybe even just a project that had a big deadline.
Yeah. So for me, you know, what I teach and what I preach is having set outcomes and set time, set structure and routines to be able to follow, to get your mindset in the zone and focus. I have to preach what I teach, and I have to do what I teach, and I absolutely follow that. So for me, having set hours, I have this blocked out every day. I know from this time to this time, working on my own business, from X time to in the afternoons, I will focus on consulting and then have my physical activities, workouts, etc., books in between that. So for me, the structure is really important to keep the focus. I also think there is a difference between those that are entrepreneurs, have their own businesses, versus those working for a company. From experience, I've seen that, not the slack isn't the right word, but the ability to work a bit less on this day and a bit more on this day. It's possible with both entrepreneurs and workers, but I find it less so with entrepreneurs, because the absolute focus is on building the business and there's less comfortability there. There's not as much certainty that the bills are going to be paid. There's not as much certainty that you're going to be able to pay your employees' salary. It's more of a why that is driving you. Whereas those that are workers, those benefits are taken care of, or there's a bit more certainty around it, which can give a bit more flexibility. Yeah, but for me personally, it's the sticking to the structure has really worked to keep my focus.
And we hear that there's different styles. I would have to say that it's really good to know. Also, there's a constancy that people know they can reach you at a certain time during the day because you're working to get things done on that. Now, as you traveled around, I know in your past, you worked for an organization that was focused on an ethical platform worldwide. And obviously, sometimes culture conflicts with ethics in different cultures, you know, as they come together, etc. Share with us a little bit about your perspectives on culture and ethics as you traveled around the world. I mean, you must have seen all different types, and certainly on your trip. I would love to get some of your stories as you traveled about.
Yeah, so it was Green Revolt, and it was a company, an ethical consultancy firm that I started a while back, and focused on helping businesses leverage the ethical market. So, you know, do the right thing, and also how you grow your business at the same time. Green Revolt was a ethical consultancy firm that I started maybe a year and a half ago now, and that was focused on helping businesses leverage the ethical market. So do the right thing, but also how do you grow your business and tap into a niche of growing consumers who want to buy products in that way. But that came from the reason was seeing the different standards whilst traveling and seeing the impact, I guess, of living in the Western world and the impact that that had, our consumerism had then on places at Colombia, the Philippines, all for different reasons. But whether it was a huge contrast of a city with some very, very poor people living in extreme poverty, and then you walk 10 minutes and you're in this pristine business center with skyscrapers, etc., where a lot of the call centers are for the Western world. I think people from the city are actually not, or the homeless people are not even allowed, able to access that area. You would think you're in a totally different place. These moments just strike you and go into your soul. That was one example. Another example, when I was in Jaipur in India, volunteering for a couple of weeks with the street kids, and behind the slum where they lived was a Holiday Inn, like premium Holiday Inn, and it just didn't feel right. It's like, how do you help companies understand there is more of a role to play here? They have more of a responsibility, but also how to use that to their advantage. Patagonia is an awesome example of that. They've taken to the responsibility that they have an ethical role to play, and because of that, they have tapped into the market from people who want to buy in that way as well. So yeah, that was what Green Revolt was about. And but it started from those hits to the soul of seeing, wow, we need to step up here.
Well, you know, Shay, that's why I really was excited when I read your background, that I think we all feel that way. Many of us, part of the reason we're in this digital nomad community, we travel so much, is we try to get out of the bubble and help others positively. And I know at our firm, Andrew and I, there's a very strongly about the spirit of giving and leaving this a better place. We really salute you and appreciate that. The other thing that comes to mind as you travel about, this is a question quite a bit, is how do you combat when you travel by yourself, kind of that feeling, touched a little bit upon fear of missing out, the old FOMO, but also sometimes loneliness and you really want to share it with somebody. So you must have some tips on that. Obviously, you're an outgoing person, so obviously you'll meet people on this journey, but there must be some times that you're like, let me combat my loneliness here, and I wish I had somebody with me to share.
I found a whole new love for apps, or what I use in your home country is traditionally dating apps or hookup apps, let's be honest. Actually, being in countries that use these apps, so I'm part of the LGBT community, and Grindr is a good example to use here, Grindr, Tinder, those kind of apps, right? And I found that I had a whole different experience that actually that enabled me. They enabled me to make friends with locals so much faster than if I had have just been wandering around by myself, waiting for somebody to start a conversation in a bar. So I would say that these apps, which I'll come back to in a second, but also I found digital nomad groups in pretty much every country that I went to. And whether that's Facebook groups through to WhatsApp groups that you can join, it was actually very easy. Once I searched for that and found it, it was very easy to start connecting with people. The reason why I took both routes is because I wanted to meet a mix of traveling digital nomads, traveling entrepreneurs, but also locals too. So I found these friendship dating app, whatever we want to call them, really helpful for meeting locals. And I've built some lifelong friendships now from doing that, which has been incredible. Just I've been able to explore, when you get a local's perspective on something, takes your understanding and connection with that country to a whole nother level. So I would really encourage people to use Tinder, use Grindr, use those apps to your advantage to meet locals and soak up the culture and make friends, local friends, discover things that you would have never have known before. And then on the other hand, to meet other traveling digital nomads, there will be WhatsApp groups, there will be somebody leading a digital nomad forum in that country, and it's just about searching for it. It's very easy to connect with people whilst you're doing it. So I've never ever felt lonely on that whole journey. You know, I've always known if I want some social time, it's totally possible to find it.
So you had mentioned also that you go to a location for about 3 weeks. Was that an arbitrary, or did you find out that that works best for you? And what I like about it is Andrew and I have talked a lot about people just breeze in and breeze out of a location. It sounds like 3 weeks to me give you a lot of time to explore without maybe overstaying your welcome, so to speak. Was there some science behind that, or just work for you?
So the 3 weeks is in a country, I'll be in a country for longer, usually between 2 to 3 months I'll stay in a country, but 3 weeks is how regularly I'll move around to different parts of that country. Yeah, I felt that's something that has been a great balance, has struck the right balance for me. It's been enough time to, in the evenings, that half day in the week and at the weekends, to be able to go out, explore, go on the free walking tours and explore different parts of the city. And then after that 3 weeks, it's generally start getting itchy feet and feel like it's time to then explore a new area. So individual for everybody. I've met people that have just wanted to stay in the city for the whole time, and people who move on faster than that as well. But 3 weeks felt like the right balance for me.
So this is that time when I love to hear from you. Overlooked place, person, book, experience from your life around the world. It could be in your own neighborhood. It could be something you saw in China or Tibet or Ethiopia, one of these places that everyone should know about.
Okay. Yes, I wrote down Ethiopia as my place if I was only allowed to pick one. Ethiopia was mind-blowing. I didn't go there with any set expectations. I was actually a bit apprehensive about going there because I'd heard some stories of a few digital nomads who had gone and just found it a bit difficult in the country. And it's culturally very different. Ethiopia was, I think, the only country in Africa that wasn't colonized for a long period of time. So what that means, you just feel a big difference in the culture as soon as you're there. And the mix, what I loved about Ethiopia is the mix of the religions there. So I went to a place called Aksum, and, you know, they have Orthodox Christians, Jews, Muslims, just a huge mix of religions because of country's history and people invading, not succeeding, other people trying to invade, not succeed. And as a result of that, there's this huge, incredible mix of people there now. And I just found that a beautiful thing, that you have so many different types of people who have strong feelings about a particular area, are so integrated and live life all together. And then aside from the people, the nature, the beauty of the country, the mountains in the north of the country. So went to the Danakil Depression, the hottest place on earth there, trekked to a volcano, climbed up this volcano to look down and just see the lava, and the sound of it will never leave my mind and my heart. It was an absolutely beautiful country, one that I would tell anybody to go to. And it's one that is not yet set up for exploring easily. So I would say not necessarily not for the faint-hearted. You can do both. You can pay a bit more and go on an organized trip there. Absolutely. So do that if that's more your vibe. But if you're more of a backpacker and like to just get on the road, figure these things out yourself, it's absolutely possible. It just takes a bit more going with the flow. Things are not going to flow as simply there, and you just have to roll with it and be okay with that.
Shay, what did you think of the food there?
Oh, the food's incredible. I love any kind of food where you're able to pick from a mix of things. And, you know, Ethiopia has the traditional injera, which is the round bread type dish, and lots of different food that you can mix with that. And what I loved about the food culture is that it's a sharing culture. So even when I went to a restaurant by myself for one evening, locals immediately would be saying, "Oh, come and sit with us, come and have some of our food." It's all about sharing in Ethiopia. And I thought that was a beautiful part of the food culture.
And the reason I ask that question is people really overlook Ethiopian restaurants around the world. If you can't get to Ethiopia, I highly recommend that in the city that you are, if there is an Ethiopian restaurant, do avail yourself of that type of food. Because as you said, sharing culture, unique food, wonderful food. But I see a lot of people shy away from it because they don't understand and have not tried it before. Just an excellent call out to try it, not only a different place, but different food style. So Shay, this has been fantastic. Where can folks learn more about you? Where can folks reach out to you, perhaps for some one-on-one coaching and other things that you might be able to help folks with? Here's your chance to share.
Okay. So if you are an entrepreneur listening or an aspiring entrepreneur listening and you want to get into this lifestyle of location freedom, time freedom, I'm not sure how to do it. That's exactly what I work one-on-one with the clients now, to help them achieve this ultimate lifestyle of time and location freedom. So head to my website, shay-doran.com, D-O-R-A-N. And yeah, that's where to get in contact with me, through the website.
Fantastic. Well, learned a lot today. And thank you so much for sharing on that. Andrew, before I share what I learned today, I'd love your perspective on your learnings on today's podcast.
This has been so fascinating because the things he said and other things on his website that I've read just draw me in to want to learn more and to hear the stories and the journey of discovery and integrating into the healing and growth process so that you can be what you should become in life and not just riding that rut that oftentimes we find ourselves in, or that some people do anyway. You know, being whole with who you are and looking at ways in places you visit to help spur that on. Those are some of the things I grasp from one, from things he's said here and things he's written on his site. And it's a good thing to counter people who are in that process and have had seasons of growth and then help other people reach it as well.
You know, what really resonated with me was comment about when I go and visit a city on vacation, there's an energy level and I have that fear of missing out. Even though it's a vacation, it's not really, it's frenetic energy. But then when I go to a place, although it's a city, a place like San Diego, where I can just walk by the Pacific Ocean, or you could go hiking in the mountains or go mountain biking on a trail, I don't have that same fear of missing out because there's a nature calls and it relaxes you. His comment there, I didn't know how to really enunciate it until he did in the podcast, but now it really resonates with me. So wonderful call out there. So a great episode today. We hope those of you in the location independent lifestyle community continue to travel, learn, and share with us. We appreciate your time with us today. We look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great week and take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.